show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Coming in the offseason, we were very appreciative of, you know, all the teams that showed us interest. But, you know, at the end of the day, my heart has been, and I think always will be, in Kansas City.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We're not coming back from a break, but it feels like we've been gone for a while because we have. And not for lack of desire or effort or anything on Mike and I's part, but just from a lack of really anything to talk about. This is really the kind of biggest dead period right after the winter meetings and before we kind of rolling into that early spring training. Pitchers and catchers are about to report. And, you know, I say dead period for the Royals just because historically there's not been a ton of action from them. And so we finally have something to talk about before we get back. But before we get to that, obviously, introductions. In case you forgot, since it has been a little bit, I am your host, Jeff Herr. And with me, of course, is the indefatigable Michael Engel. Mike, it's a rainy and dreary. I'm not sure how it is in Lawrence, but it's a rainy and dreary day in Kansas City. But how are you on this evening?
Well, yeah, it's about the same. It looks like something out of like Sherlock Holmes novel or story or whatever outside. It's, you know, foggy and gross. But I'm wearing a Royals 2015 World Series champions shirt. So
there it is.
It's not a bad day when you have the chance to do that. So
no, it's not. Which is now every day for the rest of your life.
Yeah, so, it really is.
Pending a good, a consistent laundry cycle, of course.
Right. But hopefully there are other shirts I can add to the rotation. So
let's hope. Yes. Yeah. And speaking of which, if there were to be a 2016 World Series champion, it started this week. Today we're recording. It's January 7th. And yesterday the Royals made some big news. It came out. We've been waiting. We hadn't recorded. We've been waiting so long for the Royals to do something, and they finally did it, Mike. They signed Chien-Ming Wong. Mike.
Whoa.
I know, right? Just... Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
I did not expect that to happen. I mean, that's a big name.
It's a huge name.
He was runner up for the Cy Young Award in 2006, I think.
There it is. You know, that's less than 10 years ago. So that's still right. But seriously, folks, big news legitimately is that the Royals have ensured that Alex Gordon is, I'm not going to say he's going to end his career with the Royals because I honestly don't think that he will. But I think at this point, they've done enough. They've re-signed Alex Gordon, and he will forever be remembered as a Royal. There's no chance now that anyone will remember him differently at this point. It won't be like a like a Carlos Beltran or something like that, you know, even though it still wasn't quite that anyway. It was still – but anyway, point being, the Royals, there was a bunch of consternation and there was a bunch of questions. Are they going to sign him? Are they not going to sign him? Who's the competition? What is he asking? What's the holdup? Why hasn't there been any movement? It doesn't matter now. It's all in the books, quite literally. The Royals re-signed Alex Gordon, 4 years, $72 million, average annual value of $18 million. Mike, right off the bat, hit me with it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm very happy, first of all, of course. You know, the thing was, it just seemed – it's been a really weird offseason in the Alex Gordon news market because there's always hopefulness that Gordon was going to return. But the reality of budgets and finances and things like that, you know, the Royals aren't a team that usually goes out and makes a big kind of contract, a big annual salary kind of deal like this. 4 years, $72 million. That is a franchise high for any player. So it's the biggest contract the Royals have ever dished out. It's arguably a top 10 free agent, which the Royals don't usually end up going after, much less signing. So it's significant. I mean, it's significant in a number of ways. One, because the Royals are in the game like that. I mean, you go to the playoffs 2 years in a row and the World Series two years in a row and you win one. You do want to kind of keep things moving. But because it was Alex Gordon, I think it was an even bigger kind of thing for them to go after him. Homegrown, redeemed himself after a pretty disappointing start to his career, became an all-star, became basically the captain of the team, to the point that now, when he signed, there was almost an overwhelming outpouring of joy from every Royals fan.
Don't check Facebook.
Right. Yeah. So I'm one of those where I'm just extremely happy that, one, he's back, two, that it's over, because there was so many different times where it seemed like he was gone. There was no way the Royals were going to be able to meet the contract needs that he was going to have. And I just kept expecting to see Ken Rosenthal pop up with something about Gordon to the Cardinals or Gordon to the Tigers or Gordon wherever. And that would just be disappointing. But no disappointment. 4 years of Alex Gordon. There is a fifth year for the mutual option. Probably not going to end up being exercised because those usually aren't. But, potentially four and outside chance at 5 years of Alex Gordon as a Royal to build on what he's already started. I think that's awesome. What else could you have asked from the Royals for this offseason? That was kind of the biggest thing that they could have done, and they did it. So that's awesome.
Yeah, for me, I think there were two things at play here. One, normally, and we've talked about it on this show, and I think for me, a lot of the times I try and be super pragmatic when it comes to how I would evaluate the types of decisions I would make if I was a general manager. And I like to, I like to think I wouldn't let things like emotion and attachment and all that kind of stuff get in the way of making the best decision for your team. And sometimes, even though you have a really good player, making the best, giving a huge contract, take the Cardinals, for example, they obviously made an offer to Albert Pujols back in 2012. That was probably would have been the biggest in their history. I don't know their history that well, but probably would have been the biggest in their history. And it's something that they had to make an offer. They did. But then somebody made a way bigger offer in the Angels, and they came back to the Cardinals and they were just like, hey, man, good luck. And they realized, it was better for our team to not lock ourselves into $27 million a year for the next 10 years. And so, you look at that and you think, okay, sometimes it is, even though you've had the player that's grown up in your organization, everybody loves him, fans love him, you've won a World Series, sometimes it is best to part ways. But in this situation, for me, one of the things was that it felt different. Then I guess I don't live in St. Louis, so I can't speak to it, but it felt different to me, just the amount, the attachment that we have had to Alex Gordon. And maybe it's a little bit because Albert Pujols has just always been one of the best players in baseball. Alex Gordon struggled mightily for a while, reinvented himself, came back up, and it all kind of coincided with the Royals and Dayton Moore's tenure and everything going from worst to first, literally. And the fans on that ride with it, it's just there's an intense kind of connection there. And so this was one time where I was just like, pragmatism be damned. We got to get Gordon back. You've got to get him back. There is a point. There is a point for sure. So if it was, Gordon says, it's 5 years, $100 million, not a penny less, or I'm walking, then it's like, okay, good luck. Enjoy your $100 million. But it didn't appear that was to be the case. That was kind of the pipe dream that if somebody got desperate and crazy, maybe they'd overpay Alex Gordon. But you know, if anything, much short of that, if it's $18 million per year or less, then it was something that I thought the Royals should have done. And that's exactly what they did. And that was $18 million is where it was. So for me, that was kind of the first thing, was that this was one of the first times in my life with any sport that emotional connection, attachment to a particular player has overridden any sort of pragmatic sensibility about what an appropriate contract is. However, that leads into part two, where this is such an interesting deal to me, because normally, okay, if you were to take, and we've talked about this before on the show, if you were to take a player and you put them down and you say, okay, here's what they've done, here's what they're projected to do, here's what we know about aging curves, you bring all the data into it and you try and make the most informed decision as possible, you would say X player is worth $15 million, right? Well, if that's the case, then you know, just based on how baseball works, how the market works, competition, everything else, if that player is legitimately worth $15 million on paper, they're going to make $18 million, maybe even 20 from a team that's desperate. This is per year value I'm talking about. So that's just the way baseball works. So, you know, to say Alex Gordon is worth $18 million, you'd say, okay, that's probably based on what he's done, how valuable he's been, how good his defense is, how good his offense is, base running, everything as a complete player. That's a fair market value for Alex Gordon in today's Major League Baseball. Whether people like that or not, because it's a lot of money, but whether people like that or not, it's the facts. It's a fair value for that, for the player that Alex Gordon is. So you think, okay, he's probably going to sign, you know, if it's not for more than that, then the years are going to be long, you know. So if it wasn't going to be $20 million a year, it was going to be $18 million for 7 years or something like that, you know, because that's kind of the only way you can tip the scales towards the lower average annual value. But so it was really interesting to me to see that unfold and to see it be, you look and you say, okay, Alex Gordon, 4 years, $72 million. I mean, $18 million a year is probably about what he's worth. That's a fair price for a very good player. Multiple time All-Star, multiple time Golden Globe winner, World Series champion. You know, I mean, he's hometown kid, the whole deal. And hometown in the sense that grown up in the organization, but he sort of semi-hometown.
Yeah, not too far. I mean, but Omaha's
in the Royals kingdom. Omaha's part of the thing. That's where the AAA team is and all that. But to see all that, that was really cool, because that is just, it's beyond my expectation for baseball. Cause you, Clayton Kershaw, was it last year, the year before, he signed that contract for $30 million a year, $300 million contract. Was it last year?
Was it last year?
Last year being 2014, I guess. Yeah. So 22 years ago, I guess now. Hey, it's 2016, folks.
It was recently. I don't know what year it was.
Yeah, yeah. So once you saw that, you're like, okay, Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher on the planet, hands down. Nobody's going to argue. So that's kind of the ceiling, even though because I don't really know what other pitchers, but most other pitchers, even the really, really good ones, were in that 22 to 25 million range. So you got to think that it was still going to take a few years, you know, 3 to 5 years before your salary of your top tier pitchers floated closer to that $30 million. But then boom, you know, this year, multiple pitchers signed for just the two.
Price and Greinke, but still.
Yeah. But still Price breaks Clayton Kershaw's. And while those are two of the top five pitchers on the planet, I wouldn't say Price is better than Kershaw, but he's getting paid more money, $31 million now per year. And then Zach Greinke comes up, and he's making $34 million per year. So, you know, whatever you think a player is worth, add 20%, and that's probably where you're coming out. You know, that's where maybe 10 to 20%, I guess I should say. But and that's usually where it ends up being. So that was the most fascinating piece of it to me, to see it unfold to where you got a fair price for a fair amount of years. And, you know, a lot of it had to do with Gordon himself, his attachment to the Royals and to Dayton Moore and all of that. But that was, those were the two most interesting factors of everything when it came to hearing the news finally.
Yeah, it was weird to see how the market played out, because initially it seemed kind of like Gordon was looking for maybe 7 years. I think a number of people projected that he might sign someplace for 5 or 6 years. And then at a certain point, like the big name pitchers went relatively quickly, but it seemed like a lot of teams were going for those pitchers first. And a lot of the teams that might have been going after Gordon or the other outfielders not named Jason Hayward were all, you know, trying to get the pitching settled first. And so I don't know. It's just so weird how it worked out, because you would think that Hayward signs and then now there's one less outfielder out there. You know, the demand for guys like Cespedes, like Gordon, like Dexter Fowler, like Justin Upton, you know, maybe that inspires somebody to go out there and, okay, well, outfielders just are starting to go, let's do this. But it didn't really work out that way. Hayward signed and it all just kind of stopped. And you would kind of figure that Cespedes would be next to sign, and then his contract would be loosely kind of built off from what Hayward did. And then going down the line, Upton, and then probably Gordon last. And it just didn't end up developing at all. And so when it started to come down to it, you know, the Giants were involved, or they were interested. The Cubs were interested. Then Cubs signed Hayward. The Giants signed Jeff Samardzija and Mike Leake. So that was a big chunk of money. They really couldn't take on another big contract. The Tigers were said to be interested, but they have so much money tied up into guys in their 30s already that I think they really couldn't do anything unless it was going to be short term. And so it just, these suitors just one by one kept dropping out, and you kind of got left with, well, you know, the Royals are interested. And it was always difficult to kind of find the next team that would be interested. The Orioles were brought up, but they're waiting on Chris Davis. And, you know, it's one of those where you don't want to be the Orioles, pass on Chris Davis to sign Gordon, and then see Davis sign for something that they would have
close to what they paid Gordon.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, then you're like, well, that's no good. You know, and then the White Sox kind of came up, but then reports that the White Sox were only looking 3 years for even Cespedes or Gordon. And then it just kind of, it was just like, up until that point, I was like, I don't know how the Royals can get him. And then it just kind of worked out that, okay, at this point, nobody was seemed to be doing a fourth year for him. The Royals kind of had to stretch to make the $18 million average, because that's just not in their nature. It's so not in their nature to do that. And it ended up working out. I also think, you know, you talk about like Gordon's desire to stay around here. It really seemed like he wanted to stay, and the Royals were going to have any opportunity to match. And so, I mean, I think that's definitely in play. And whether or not that's just sentimentality, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's some element of it that you just can't get around, because Dayton Moore is still human. From a fan perspective, I was right with you in that. You know, just thinking about last year, you know, Billy Butler goes out there and, you know, you knew that he was going to hit the market, and you knew that there might be a chance the Royals would bring him back, and you kind of want it to happen, but it wasn't the same level of like devotion and desire to see him come back. It wasn't like, okay, if we don't get Butler back, it's going to be disappointing, because just like Gordon, he was one of those faces of the franchise coming up, came up, you know, in 2007, just, or yeah, in 2007, just like Gordon, you know, a big part of 2012, 2013, 2014, those years of improvement. But when he signed for Oakland for 3 years and $30 million, you're like, yeah, I'm glad the Royals didn't sign him.
Yeah, exactly.
And there was just about any, like, even 5 years and $100 million, if that was, say, Gordon signs with the White Sox for that amount, you'd still kind of feel like you want the Royals to match that. Even assuming and expecting to a point even that the last year of that deal, he's probably going to be fairly average, if not, you know, worse, just because he'll be older. And that's something that as a fan, I was willing to live with it. Like one of the things that I wrote on our site was just like, look, I get it. I understand that some people might not want to sign him because they don't want to be committed to a guy that's going to get older, but I didn't care. I mean, it's, you know, it's Alex Gordon. It's, you know, somebody who was touted as the next George Brett who, you know, really kind of plays in a similar way. Always did coming up, you know, just similarities were just so obvious when he was coming up. So it's, you take that into account plus the last, you know, 5 years where he's been very good, all-star caliber player, gold gloves, heroics in the postseason, things like that. And it's just like, I can't imagine the Royals without Alex Gordon. And, you know, on one hand, yeah, it's not my money, but I was fine with the Royals doing whatever to just bring him back. So to see him come back and on a pretty decent deal, especially for the next 2 years, that works out pretty nicely. So the Royals are in a position where they're basically bringing back the same team they had last year, minus like Ryan Madsen. He'll be gone, but they signed Joaquin Soria. They lost Ben Zobrist, and there's not an easy replacement for second base. And then, you know, right field's kind of going to work on some platoon, but it's basically the same team. You didn't break anything up.
To your point, you know, exactly. The team that started 7-0 and best team in baseball for the first half of the season,
Before they got Zobrist and Cueto.
Name a difference between an appreciable difference that makes that version better than the opening day 2016 team. And there won't be one because, I mean, besides like...
You even had Rios missing for a couple of months because of his hand last year. So you're still working with Dyson and Orlando. It's essentially the same team.
Yeah, and I would even argue that from what Rios gave you, you know, you might even get an Orlando Dyson platoon might even be better. it's kind of hard to say because there's so much, you know, Rios
if he hadn't gotten
huge,
hurt, you know, then maybe he's good all year. And
he had some huge moments in the playoffs. I mean, at the end of the day, or the end of the season, I should say, we were glad Rios was on there. He was a huge part of that rally against Houston in game four. And, you know, he had multiple big hits in the postseason. So, you know, Alex Rios, thank you for your service, you know.
Right. But here's your ring. We don't necessarily need you back.
Yes. But it'll be – I mean, really, there's not much difference. And you got, you know, yeah, Gordon, Kane, et cetera, will be older. But you've also got to hopefully – if. I don't think there's going to be a ton of fall off between Gordon and Kane. If there is, you know, because Gordon's kind of on the tail end of his prime and Kane is probably at the peak of his prime, teetering towards the downslope. But you've got Hosmer and Moose and Perez who are hopefully, you know, they're all entering they're statistically speaking by age the typical primes for a baseball player. You're 27 to 32 age 27 to 32 seasons. So, you know, any drop off from a possible Gordon Kane, that type of can hopefully be overcome by that. And then especially, you know, when you've got if you're Yordano Ventura can take the step forward. He took a step back last year, if we're honest. So if he can take two steps forward this year and become the pitcher we all knew, or we all know he can be and we all want him to be, then, you know, that's another thing that they didn't have at the beginning of last season because he struggled a little bit. And I mean, there's a lot of factors at play here, but ultimately you got to think, you know, put it this way, the amount of people that suggested the Royals were going to fall off after the 2014 World Series, the same amount of people will be predicting them to repeat as Central champion. I would assume. Maybe they still don't have enough respect.
I would think so. I mean, the other teams, you know, the White Sox and, you know, the Indians have made some improvements, but you know, not that great of improvements.
No.
So
and the White Sox lose Jeff Samardzija, and you have, I mean, the Tigers are awful. They're going to be terrible. I mean, they're so.
If anybody's healthy, they'll probably be okay. But I mean, you're asking guys who were chronically injured all last year to be healthy.
And it's so weird because it's like, what are they doing? You know, seriously, they don't have, it doesn't seem like they have a plan. Dombrowski, they fired him and he's in Boston now, and that's great. But then you've got, what are they trying to do? They haven't made a ton of moves. You kind of hear their names.
They're
like,
still not doing anything with their bullpen, really.
Yeah. Do they want an Alex Gordon? Like, because if, what if, the, I mean, okay, let's play that out. What if the Tigers would have gotten Alex Gordon? You know, like you said earlier, they have so much money tied up in people who are 30 years old already or well into their 30s that it's like, I mean, do you want to try and get a bunch of high quality veterans and do like a late 2000 Yankees thing and try and make a run at it with a bunch of savvy veterans who've, you know, maybe past their prime, but still have some moments in them? Or do you want to, you know, kind of grasp the veteran leadership and be the, maybe try and replenish the farm system? Like, they're kind of perplexing. It's just been kind of like, what's going on over there?
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, it seems like they're just spending the money and then, well, let's see how far it gets them. I mean, they were able to trade Cespedes and Price last year for stuff, but they're still paying double-digit, you know, eight figures a year to six or seven guys, if not more. So it's a lot of money. That would be interesting, though, to see. I mean, it would change a lot of things if Gordon had signed with the White Sox or the Tigers, because then you're not only losing Gordon from the Royals, but you're adding him to a rival.
Yeah.
And so that changes things in a great deal, because the Royals would then have holes in left and right field. And while Orlando and Dicey can probably handle a platoon, you're probably going to have to go out and get Gerardo Parra for $11 million a year when he seems to be falling off himself right now. So that's not, it's not advisable or pleasant to think about, much less, you know, just having to see Alex Gordon playing for your division rival for, you know, 20 some times a year. I mean, that would just be awful. That would suck. That would be the worst thing possible.
That'd be pretty terrible.
That would just be like, ugh. It's bad enough to have to face the White Sox and Tigers anyway, but if they had Gordon. But on the flip side of that, with the Royals signing him, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, okay, well, they keep him and keep that same core and keep basically the same lineup and prevent another team from getting him who could overtake them in the Central. So, I mean, every way I look at it, I think it's positive. I mean, it's good for fans. It's good for the team. It's bad for the other teams in the division. And the money's not crippling. And when the money starts getting big is when the Royals have room to spend money.
Yeah, because that's another thing that we haven't really discussed, that the way they structured the contract and the way it was put specifically, I can't remember who tweeted this out, but Flanagan? Okay. But was that the Royals structured it so, I mean, Alex Gordon's basically taking a pay cut for this coming year.
Right.
See, is it $10 million this year or $12 million?
He's getting $12 this year.
Because he was already making, he made $12.5 last year. So he's making $12 million.
And after bonuses, I think he made like $13.5 million.
Yeah. So you're looking at taking a pay cut, but most likely, you know, I mean, with a baseball player,
he's still going to get
that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter because it's all guaranteed. So it's not like football where that actually matters. But so if you're Gordon, you don't care because, okay, I'm still getting my money, but I want to make it easier to be on a winning team again. I want to win another World Series. So now he doesn't appreciably affect their payroll because he's basically the same against their payroll as he was last year. And like you said, when it starts to get into those $20 million contracts, I'm sorry, $20 million salaries, that's when you start seeing, you know, the first year of that is the year after what we'll eventually most likely call the mass exodus of
basically, you know, it's
Hosmer, Moose, Escobar, Kane, Davis, all free agents.
Infante Vargas,
all after the 2017 season. So that'll leave you, I mean, all those guys gone. I mean, what is that?
That's a lot of money.
$70 million off your payroll at least, because they're probably,
they'll have like $40 million committed in 20.
Yeah, it'll be like 2011 again. But then, you know, you'll hopefully have your Raul Mondesis and your Hunter Doziers and your Bubba Starlings and everyone ready to kind of take the place. And then you've got your Alex Gordon, your Salvador Perez, a couple veterans still around from the winning age to kind of usher in the new age. So it works out really well all the way around. And it's just, you know, couldn't be happier to see Alex Gordon back as a Kansas City Royal. I mean, it's really been, man, you just can't, it's so special. Like, there were so many moments, you know, in his career, like you kind of talked about, came up, he struggled. Everyone was like, what's going on? This was supposed to be our guy. There were the George Brett comparisons. Maybe that got in his head. Maybe it didn't. Next thing you know, he's down in the minors. They're going to move him to the outfield. We should trade him. I was on that train. I wanted to trade him.
Yeah, there was a point in 2010 where it wasn't clear where his place was. It wasn't clear what he was going to be able to do from that point. So
I was like, hey, if he's got any value left, then get it. Get something for him, because I didn't think he was going to be anything. But he goes down to his credit, completely reinvents himself, reinvents his game, everything, and becomes the player that we all imagined. And so did all that. Helps win. I mean, so many great moments. There was the game in 2014. I mean, his entire month of August in 2014, where he basically put the team on his back and just carried him all the way to the point where they were still in the race come September for the playoffs. And to see that happen, and then I was at the game where the split game, you know, where they played the
delayed one. Yeah, I was at that too.
Yeah.
He
tied it in the ninth with a two-run home run. I mean,
like a week after he had hit the walk-off against the Twins.
Yep, and everyone was doing the MVP chants, and it was just awesome. And then from there, you know, that walk-off that you just talked about, starting there, going 14 months later, you know, to hitting the game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth inning against one of the best closers in the National League in game one of the World Series that they eventually won. I mean, like, we talked about this too with the World Series. We didn't really talk about it as much with Alex Gordon, because I think we kind of focused on Lou Kochever a little bit. But, like, those are those things that just, like, if I'm a Yankees fan, I don't know that I feel that in 2000 when they've won their fourth World Series. And, you know, I mean, obviously it's different, I guess, when you've won your, but even when they won their first one in 96 or whatever, when it had been a while, you know, and maybe they, you know, maybe there was a little bit with like Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams and those guys, because those actually were homegrown products for the Yankees at that time, but
they weren't like,
you know,
veterans at that point. They were still pretty young.
They were just young guys. They were the Eric Cosmers and Mike Moustakas of this team, but, you know, there's nobody that's been like Alex Gordon. We've seen all the struggles that we've got there. We've been there with him through that as fans, you know, and then it just gives you those kind of warm fuzzies inside when you can see, like, man, I mean, imagine, you know, what we all thought. Someone like Gordon has got to be so, you know, he's the kind of guy that's really hard on himself, because that's how he's going to get better. You know, he's probably very critical, you know, and that's a lot of the great players are, you know, because they're never great in their own minds, and that's what keeps them competitive and trying to get better. And so, you know, all the stuff that we were saying 08, 09, 2010 about Alex Gordon, imagine what he was thinking to himself, you know, like, is this ever going to happen for me? You know, is this, again, I don't know if that's what he's thinking, but at that time, it's only human nature to be like, man, is this, you know, is this what I'm going to be? Is this, can I do this? You know, some self-doubt maybe starts to creep in. And then, you know, same with Lou Kochever, basically around the same time frame too. But, and so then you kind of slowly start to come back up, and then it culminates with such an amazing moment that eventually leads to winning a World Series. And it's like, man, like you can't write it any better. You really can't.
It's, yeah, I mean, he's went from, he was supposed to be the savior. He was a bust. He remade himself. He became not even just like, you know, one of the best player on the team, but one of the best players in the league all around. You know, gold glove after gold glove, finally made all-star teams, and, you know, really did it by not drawing much attention to himself. He just kind of goes out there and does the job. I mean, the old school name is he's just a gamer, and that's just what he does. And so to have him go, you know, 2005 draft pick, you know, so that's Allard Baird, to you know, see a new general
manager. Allard Baird.
Yeah.
The last first round.
Yeah, unofficially.
Yeah, unofficially.
The Luke Gochaver's a little wink, wink, but
right.
But I mean, you know, that's basically connecting both of those, the generation of just awful, awful baseball where it was miserable to be a fan, to now where the Royals are 2-time AL champs. They're going to get rings on opening day, and they should be one of the favorites next year. And
the New York Yankees are trying to emulate the Royals right now. To think about what that means for a second. I mean, they're trying to stock up, make a really strong bullpen. I mean, obviously I'm kind of embellishing a little bit, but you know, there's a lot of teams that are looking at what the Royals did and trying to take, you know, if not recreate the whole thing, trying to take a lot of the different pieces and apply it to what they're already doing. So just think about that for a second.
That doesn't even make sense. It's like, it doesn't feel right at all. But it's Gordon. I mean, that's just, he's been around for so long. He's been such a part of this franchise from 2007 to the present that, you know, like I said before, it just wouldn't seem right. And he said that it would feel completely weird to wear anybody else's jersey too. So it's just like, all right. I mean, we're happy you're back. And right. I mean, ugh.
And you look back at past history, right? And some of the other players that, you know, it's there's a dearth of really good players in recent Royals history the last couple decades, but there have been some, you know, and maybe you look at like a Mike Sweeney, but a lot of the other guys, you know, Johnny Damon came up and he kind of had that same moniker, the whole savior type thing. And but you got the feeling, you knew right away with Damon, he wasn't long for this town.
Yeah. Right?
So the Royals, if they didn't trade him away, he was gone anyway. You know, Carlos Beltran, you knew the same deal. Apparently he, you know, he loved it here. And maybe if they would have made it, there's all these rumors about if they just would have paid him $20 million, he would have, you know, whatever it was. But
yeah, it was like $1 million more, not per year for the contract. Just one of those grand urban legends of Case baseball. It doesn't seem reasonable to me. But,
no, it's not. It's not reasonable.
But,
and it's not realistic. But
it's still what goes around. So
yeah, you knew he wasn't, because even if the Royals were trying to get, because Carlos Beltran is a step above Alex Gordon. I love Alex Gordon. This is what our whole show is about today. But he's better. Let's just face the facts. But anyway,
Beltran's got a shot at the Hall of Fame. Alex Gordon will make the ballot. And that's you still know, great. A lot of
he'll, lot of good he's players in the Hall of very good.
Yeah.
So, but he, but Beltran, you kind of knew he was probably gone. And then, yeah, I love Eric Hosmer. I think he's great. He's a very good ball player. If I had to redraft any one Royal to start a franchise with, it's probably Eric Hosmer on this current team. But you knew, not even from day one in the majors, you knew from the day that he signed with Scott Boras as his agent and everything else, he's taken his 6 years and he's gone after that. So, I mean, maybe if the Royals could afford him, but they can't. So yeah,
it's,
but even if they could afford him, I don't know.
The only way they can justify a contract of that size is one where he's hitting well, but if he hits well, then it just means that the contract's bigger. And
yeah,
I think Mark Teixeira's contract is up after 2017. So
that was the thing that you
what do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, that was the thing that everyone kind of pointed to. I mean, they're both tall, power hitting, left-handed first baseman. Hosmer grew up a Yankees fan. wants to be in New York by for everything that, you know, you kind of heard when he was coming up. So it seemed like that's destiny. And it seems like Hosmer, that's King, the Royals, the Yankees, everyone knows this is what's going to happen. So that's fine.
Yeah. I've made my peace with it already.
Exactly.
So it's like,
that's another, thanks for your service, man. It was great having you here.
We can't pay you $28 million a year. I don't even know that's what it's going to be, but who knows? It's going to be in 2 years. Well, who knows what the market's going to look like? But anyway. Yeah.
And you know, these guys, this group here, like let's say the 2017, let's say that whole mass exodus occurs, right? And let's say Hosmer, Moose, Escobar, Kane, and Davis are all gone, right? I mean, they may, even if they go to five separate teams, there's a really good chance that none of them will ever win a World Series again in their careers. So, I mean, this is the one thing they're going to have. They're always, you know, they're always going to be, I imagine they're probably always going to picture themselves kind of as a Royal. You know, and even Johnny Damon, right? Even though he won a World Series with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and he didn't think of, you know, he didn't seem like he was a Kansas City guy, really. I remember they asked him a question one time. They're like, if you went into the Hall of Fame, you know, who would you go into the Hall of Fame with? And he's like, well, you know, my best years were really as a Royal. So I guess I'd go in. I'd have to find the quote where it was written.
Yeah, it was something like that, though.
Yeah, something like he would probably go in as a Royal or something, which seemed kind of odd at the time for him to say that. But so, you know, I mean, I feel like players do kind of picture themselves in a certain way where it's not necessarily always, you know, I'm sure Carlos Beltran, even though he had a lot of good years and came up with the Royals, he probably pictures himself in a Mets uniform, you know? So I feel like now it could very well be that Hosmer goes to the Yankees and they win three World Series and he's one of the greatest Yankees of all time. And that's where it is, you know, whatever.
Right.
But the greater likelihood, statistically speaking, is that maybe one of them, but most likely none of them would win another World Series. And so you're looking at, you know, that's a connection. That's something that is just you can't replace.
Yep. And it's, you know, Alex Gordon's going to end up with his number retired. I mean, sure,
it'll be three, four, five. Ned Yost have his number retired as well. You can't not retire.
Doesn't seem right.
It's baffling, but you can't not do it. No other Royals manager has been to two World Series.
It's true.
No, he's won. Has he won more? He's won more playoff games than any Royals manager. He's won more games.
Have to, yeah.
He's managed more games. I mean, if you're the winningest, you've had the most World Series, the most playoff wins, and a World Series championship, and he's still going. Who knows what the future brings the next couple of years and maybe after. I mean, I think that's where he goes. I think Ned Yost rides out these next couple of years with core, and then I think he retires, and I think someone like Wakamatsu will take over, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I mean, let's say the Royals make the playoffs at least once out of the next 2 years. Maybe they make another run, World Series, whatever. I mean, you simply can't. You can't not. Not only can you not retire his number, but you almost have to build a statue of
him. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you win a World Series, it becomes a legit question. And same for Gordon. You know, I mean, that the thing that kind of went around Twitter from a few different people who photoshopped this was they took the base from the Brett.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And they put where Gordon's rounding the base and pointing out after tying game one of
that
the
World Series. That was really cool.
Which is that's just an iconically great moment. So, I mean, that's what I would pick. That's what I'd like to see.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Brett, he's in his classic stance, and Frank White's statue is he's turning a double play, and Hauser's there at the step, and if it did come to that, that's what I think you'd see from Gordon. And I think if they retire the number, they'd absolutely do a statue, but I mean, surefire Hall of Fame.
I mean, that was his Kirk Gibson fist pump moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
that's about as demonstrative as he gets too.
Yeah. I mean, that's for years, they're going to show that. And when they do those playoff montages, whether Royals are in it or not, you know, you talk about the excitement of the playoffs. That's going to be one of the things that you have to,
Yep.
I mean, the Royals, the last two, the MLB, people talk about they're not respecting. They should be praising the Royals for the amount of playoff montage fodder they've given them. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, like Gordon's home run that we've been talking about, right? In the bottom of the ninth to tie it up. And then his rounding the bases. Hosmer going home on the throw to Duda in game game five, right?
Yeah,
game five. So and the look on the Mets fans' face.
I love that picture.
That's so good. That's so good. And you know, Lorenzo Cain's base clearing double, and he gets up and then in the ALCS, I mean, my favorite moment when Lorenzo Cain is scores from first,
mm-hmm.
slides into home, and then jumps up, and he's like 18 feet in the air and pumps his fist. I got that Sports Illustrated where he's on the cover, and the man, that was my favorite moment. Like, that just gave me chills. Gives me chills right now thinking
about
it.
It was my favorite call of the postseason. Even though it was Joe Buck, that was my favorite call.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It's like
that one in so far. The when Correa booted that ball, like, that's not something you put in a playoff montage because it's somebody screwing up, but like, just because that announcer, who was the guy?
The Scurgeon.
He went so nuts when Correa hit that home run in the sixth inning or whatever it was. It's just like, and Colby Rasmussen, he's just screaming, and it's like, oh man, and so awful. And then
it gets by Correa,
and then it just like they score. Oh man, I mean, the like so many. And then you go back to last year. You know, in 2014, or I said last year, 2 years ago now, but 2014, and I mean, there's an entire montage worth of moments in the wild card game alone.
Right.
But then you've got, you know, the late inning home runs against the Angels, and you know, like they had all
Gordon's
stuff.
Game one against Baltimore.
Yep.
Hit the little fall out of nowhere double and the game winning homer.
Yeah, and then you've got it would have been what would have been amazing is, and we can say this now because we know they lost in 2014, but
right.
Even if we all know Gordon 90% would have been out if he'd rounded third.
Right.
And I only say 90% because
maybe it's something
that throw. So maybe something like that would have happened with Crawford, but you know, we all know he would have been out, but man, what a way that would have been to end the World Series, right? Like, it would have sucked, obviously.
Right.
But that's definitely a highlight thing. It's much easier to talk about now after winning 2015.
Right.
So it's not as,
yeah.
It's not
like,
as painful.
Okay. I've seen clips of it now, and I don't like moan in pain because yeah. Hey, we got the next one.
Exactly. Fine. Like 2003 KU losing in the national championship doesn't feel as bad after 2008.
You just go watch Mario Chalmers.
Exactly. Yep. So, but man, and to kind of bring it all full circle, if you will, I mean, the kind of one of the biggest pieces of all this stuff that's happened in the last 16, 18 months for the Royals, Alex Gordon, he's kind of always been there, always been involved. He's had all these heroics, and he doesn't go on social media, doesn't chirp a lot to the media, doesn't do a ton of interviews, isn't super demonstrative. So you don't kind of think about it. You know, he doesn't do all the crazy hand gesture stuff as much as like Hosmer and Moose and those guys do. And, you know, nothing wrong with that, but it kind of takes for granted sometimes, like how many amazing moments just he alone has done in this great, amazing run the Royals have had.
Yeah, he's had the game-breaking double in the first inning of Game 3 of the 2014 ALDS, too. So it's like just over and over, he just did stuff.
Just did stuff.
Just did stuff. That catch against Baltimore. I mean, just he was everywhere. I mean, never like in series MVP consideration, but he always was contributing and doing big things, just like, you know, rose to the moment. I think, who was it? Who was the ESPN guy who tweeted about his postseason average. I don't remember yesterday. John Buturas, I think. I didn't either. I just saw people tweet it. But he was like, only 222 postseason batting average. I'm like, okay. So I just sent him like every postseason hit, like, because they're all big.
Yeah.
You know, double, three run double, home run, you know.
Yeah, it's like, okay,
that's
what did Hosmer hit in the World Series? 193?
He didn't hit well at all, but when he got
seven RBIs
yeah.
in five games,
the whole postseason, he really didn't hit that well, but when he did, he drove somebody
huge
in.
Hits. I mean, tell me he's still not valuable. And if that shows you anything, you know, it shows you people were kind of pitching around him and, you know, trying to, it's just so, yeah. Especially in a postseason, the way postseasons are structured and the way that they're played. I mean, we can talk all day about how statistics matter so much less, specifically because of the randomness. Because if you go 222 for an entire season, then
that's
80% of the time.
For 11 games, or I guess it's more like, 18, 19 games?
Yeah, but even the 222 in the course of a season, you're still getting probably, you know, 50 really huge hits out of that, I don't know what the numbers would be, you know, but a percentage of those hits that you have are going to be huge and really important, but they're spread out over an entire season. So if you can get those spread in, you know, focused into 15 games, then all of a sudden it's much more valuable. So, you know, whatever. People can try and take it. And that's kind of another interesting dynamic of stuff that kind of developed. And we talked about this a little bit, but people not necessarily trying to take down Gordon, but trying to convince themselves that it's okay if he leaves for X reason, you know?
Yeah.
And then now it's like, oh, now let's celebrate it. You know, like you had, like for instance, you know, won't go too into it to pick on him or anything, but like Bob Fesco, okay, you know, he kind of,
we can pick on Fesco.
He does his own thing, and that's fine. But you know, when it gets to be factually incorrect, that's when you got to call him on it. And he said something to the effect of, "Why would I want, or why should the Royals shouldn't overpay for a number eight hitter who has never hit 20 home runs? First of all, he said 20 home runs twice."
Right.
And 19
another time. And
second,
13 and last year when he missed 2 months.
Yeah, missed 50 games. And but then also it's like number eight hitter. Like talk about.
He hit eighth one time in the regular season.
The loss of all context.
Right.
I mean, like it's just, but that's, you know, whatever.
That's radio.
You know, so people kind of try and talk themselves out of Alex Gordon thinking he wasn't going to be back, but now he's back and everyone's like, oh, I didn't mean it. I was just kidding. You know, it's like if you ever go into an internet forum or something, someone says something really mean and nasty and they put an LOL after it so that if you try and call them on their bullshit, then they can come back and say, I said LOL, man. I was just joking. Relax, dude. It's the internet. You know, it's shit like that. It's like, you know, too bad Gordon's just an eight hitter, LOL.
And right.
And it's like, oh man, Gordon's back. I was just joking. I totally love Gordon. That was a joke. Like, come on.
Get a jersey.
But I mean, I don't really care. You know, people can do whatever they want. You know, I'm not going to tell anyone how to be a fan. It's just kind of an interesting dynamic that you had all those people trying to do that.
Right. It's like, I mean, I don't care if you hit 222 in the postseason, because he tied game one. It's like,
yeah. And you know what? You know what else that means if he hits 222 in the postseason?
He's in it.
Exactly.
It's like,
I'll take it.
That's new enough. It's like, I was fine getting the wild card game in 2014 to go any, you know, everything after that was gravy. And it's like, that's,
I'll take 222 in the postseason instead of 422
instead of
Arizona or villain or Venezuela.
Right. Not applicable.
Yeah, exactly.
Blank. I'll take it. Yeah. Alex Gordon. I mean, who knows what happens afterwards? I mean, once he's done with these 4 years, I mean, I don't know where that puts him. He'll be, approaching his year or his age 36 season. So he'll probably have 2 to 3 years left probably at that point. Don't know if he'd stay with the Royals, you know, to that extent, or if he'd go bounce around someplace. But I think it'd be really cool to see Alex Gordon be one of those start to finish guys, because you don't see them anymore. You just do not. Even, you know, once free agency hit, you even guys like, I brought this up probably more in the email than here, but guys like Willie Mays or Hank Aaron, who played 20 years for one team, and then the last year they try to get one more year out of, Willie Mays going from the Giants to the Mets, or Hank Aaron going from the Braves to the Brewers, or, you know, or where you end up with the Jerry Rice thing where he just bounces around to keep playing.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, hopefully Kansas City doesn't do that, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City hero Bobby Bell, right? He played for the Raiders, you know, for a little while at the end of his career. Same kind of deal. Nobody remembers that. You know, and we talked about Carlos Beltran, and I think that's a good comparison for a couple reasons. But he played for the Giants in 2011. Like, I totally forgot
like
about
two
that.
Months,
I was just, yeah, I was just looking at his stats and everything. And he's been through a lot of teams, but I also think that's a good comparison, because I think when he hits that 36 and he's free agent, I think that's kind of the types of deal he's going to be looking for. So, now something to consider too, when that happens, the Royals' new contract with their new TV contract will be in play. So, and by then, the exponential increase in baseball salaries, coupled with the decrease that Gordon would expect based on age and declining skill set at that time,
yeah,
will probably actually even out to where he's still going to make $18 million a year. So, if you really think about it, I mean, honestly, if you think about it that way, then he's going to end up getting his 7 years at $18 million. And, you know, maybe that's something that the Royals, if they didn't say it to him outright, maybe they kind of have it in the back of their mind, like, well, we can kind of just hold this over. And then once that new TV contract comes in, then we won't be a huge deal to pay him $18 million. And we'll be able to have a, you know, $130 million payroll will be the baseline instead of the apex.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be interesting. And I think if anybody would be open to doing it, it'd be Gordon. So, and that would definitely end up with his number retired. And that'd be awesome. Yes. I mean,
that would be so awesome.
I can't imagine, just like, it was cool enough to be there for the Sweeney Hall of Fame induction. For Gordon, somebody who, you know, you saw all this success with, I think it'd be just that much crazier, especially because Sweeney played in a time where it was harder, it became harder to be a Royals fan, and Gordon's playing at a time where now everybody wants to be a Royals fan. So, you know, you got a lot of 10-year-olds now who want to be Alex Gordon when they grow up, and, you know, in 20 years, you know, that's going to be a big thing. Gordon's going to be the guy that they're pointing to. So, you know, they're going to be recording their podcast talking about so-and-so being the next Alex Gordon. And that's going to be pretty cool.
And, yeah.
Hopefully.
It'll be good to have somebody that our generation can point to that isn't just like, hey, remember George Brett?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So, if nothing else, I mean, that's his legacy. So, you know, just happy to have that be a thing, and happy he's not a Detroit Tiger.
Yeah. And really, I mean, because at this day and age in baseball, I mean, not many teams can really say, like, the Yankees have their great history, but you look back at, like, the last 30 years, and you want to talk of players like Alex Gordon for, like, a Yankees. You know, you've obviously got the Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera, but, I mean, for all the great players that have played for the Yankees, you know, those kind of true guys that Yankees fans could kind of claim as their own. You know, it seems to me, just from my experience, Yankees don't have a ton of pride in, like, particular players necessarily, as just the Yankees, the pinstripes, more or less, you know.
Right.
But that's why Derek Jeter was so different, because they did have that pride in him, because he was there from day one and through his whole career. And same with Mariano Rivera. So But, you know, you look at – and it's just – there's not that – it doesn't happen that often.
No.
You know, to have that guy that's your franchise player for a decade.
And so even it's so, really it's cool. It's – you know, you always run into a point where a team needs to trade off a guy like that or something. And it's just – you know, the Royals kind of happened to get Gordon at a point where they extended him into the period where they would be successful, and now they continue to have him while they'll be successful. So he kind of avoids that whole situation, and the Royals avoid having to deal him off and explain why they dealt him. So, you know, I assume, I mean, once he gets to that last year, he's going to have full no trade possibility. So, you know, and I'm sure he would waive it if it came to it, but wouldn't have to. And I think, you know, that would make him a harder guy to trade anyway. So that's what the future looks like. It's like he's probably going to be here for the full four.
And for the maybe to kind of just wrap up here, perhaps the most important point in all of this from an organizational standpoint is, and we said this before, but this is now the fifth consecutive year that the Royals have increased payroll.
After saying they wouldn't.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. But it's the fifth straight year the Royals and the second straight year that they've set a team record for payroll on opening day. So now you've got, you know, this whole narrative, and we've tried to dispel it as much as possible. But the whole narrative of David Glass being cheap, you just simply can't. Yeah. There's no evidence to support that narrative anymore. You know, there wasn't before the Gordon signing, and there's definitely not any now. So, you know, the Royals are still never going to be. This doesn't mean that everyone gets $18 million a year contracts. You know, this the money is not limitless, but it does show, like we've talked about before, but that the important thing to remember, you know, we as fans made and you know, non-obligational implicit contract of, hey, you guys put a better product on the field, Royals, we'll come watch. We'll support this team. You know, we're a baseball town waiting to wake up. They did it, and boom, we held up our part of the bargain. The catch 22 of that was that the Royals said, hey, if you guys support us, you guys come out to the stadium, we can put more money into this organization and we can make it better. Well, you know, luckily they were able to get it to the point where we started coming out, they made it better, and now they keep continuing to stand by that. They're putting more money into the organization, they're putting more money into the team, and that bodes incredibly well for the future of this organization.
And you can probably get an Alex Gordon jersey.
Yes. Yes.
And feel safe.
See, that helps all around, because you feel good because you've got an awesome jersey of an awesome player.
Right.
That you can wear for 4 years guaranteed.
Yep.
And
even if you went past that, I mean, even if you went somewhere else, well, heck.
It's going to become,
he spent, you know, 12, 13 seasons with the Royals.
Yeah. I mean, I can't go to a Chiefs game and wear my Brody Croyle jersey without somebody posting it on Twitter and saying, look at this joker wearing his fucking Brody Croyle jersey. But if somebody goes and wears a Tony Gonzalez jersey,
right,
people give him the head nod. You know, a Derek Thomas jersey, no problem. That's Alex Gordon. So you buy an Alex Gordon jersey now, it's twofold benefit. The benefit to you, and you're putting more money into the team, giving them more revenue. So hopefully they can continue to increase team make team history with payrolls and keep signing their good players. So,
like Alex Gordon.
Alex Gordon. Did we mention the Royals re-signed Alex Gordon? Have we talked about that yet? I don't think we've talked about that. but they did sign Chen Ming Wong, though. That was not...
That's true. And John Lannan to a minor league deal. So
also that, yes. Both of minor league deals.
Yeah. So
Royals, this is kind of their shtick that they do, is that, which is, I'm totally fine with. You sign a minor league deal, it doesn't affect the 25-man roster, and it's basically a lottery ticket. if Wong or Lannon can kind of find that fountain of youth and maybe have a good season, then the Royals look like they profit. But if not, then
if not, they're out of my early contract.
Yep.
Whoops. So well,
no skin off my back,
but they probably will get a pitcher. And that's kind of the idea for next show, to talk about pitchers that the Royals might sign. Hopefully
we have one signed about.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll be helpful and just answer the question for us and make it really easy on us. I'm sure that's why they're there, you know, to supply us with information and stuff to do. It's exactly why they signed Alex Gordon, because they wanted a new podcast. It's got to be.
That's had to be it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know any other reason why.
Right.
So so with that, we'll leave you.
We're out of stuff to say about Alex Gordon.
Morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening to it. But it's been a great day, great week in Royal Land. They re-signed Alex Gordon. The team from last year is basically intact, or the team from the beginning of last season is basically intact. So 2016, we're already in primed. It's going to be another good year. It's already here. The calendar has turned. We're about 6 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Not too much further after that, spring training, and then it'll be opening night. The Royals will have gold gold borders on their numbers. They'll be getting their World Series trophy or a World Series rings, and they'll be doing it across the aisle from the team that they beat to do it. So even though they had to celebrate on the New York Mets field, it's going to be in Kansas City for that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So they'll get that one in Kansas City. So there's that. But anyway, great day in Royals land. Hopefully much more to come. And now hopefully things will start happening. We'll have a little bit more to talk about. So we will, we'll definitely be back next week, with the show. We're going to try and get some guests in here now that the Royals and Gordon watch has calmed down. So, stay tuned, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, everything else. KC Baseball Vault on Facebook. KC Baseball Vault on Twitter. Mike is at Michael Engel on Twitter. I am at the Jeff Report. You want to follow us? Got any questions, any topics, anything like that you'd like us to cover? We have some things that we want to cover, but we always want to. It's always good to hear from the fans and to hear what people want us to talk about if they like what we're doing, or if you want to just,
or if you don't.
Yeah, if you want to neg on us totally a little fair. Bit, call us idiots, then go for it. You know. I am also will accept that.
Right.
But that'll do it for us this evening. Thank you guys so much for listening. We couldn't do it without the fans. It's been a crazy ride, and this with the turn of the calendar year, we have hopefully many more great Royals moments to come. So for Michael Engel, I am your host, Jeff Hurd. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Come back and see us again next week, when we'll hopefully have our new show for you. And as always, go Royals.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can find us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Kansas City Baseball Vault. If you want to email your thoughts or comments, send those to KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can also sign up and subscribe through iTunes, through Stitcher, or you can just go to RoyalsPodcast.com or KansasCityBaseballVault.com for any updates.